This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is the biggest rivalry in sport. Army-Navy is a different rivalry that, you know, you set that aside and then everything else kind of lines up and you figure it out. Ohio State-Michigan is the biggest rivalry in sport, so we welcome in Doug LeMaurice to talk about it. Kings of the North on YouTube. He's fabulous. He joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Doug, Will Howard, he's really embodied being a transfer guy. He's really embodied being a Buckeye. What has been this process down there with him in this program?
So, you know, it's a spot where Ohio State needed him as much as he needed them, right? If he maybe could have gone to the NFL draft last year out of Kansas State, but I think he wanted to elevate, you know, his play, take a shot at a national championship, improve his draft stock. And Ohio State thought it needed to elevate the quarterback play from a year ago. So, you know, Cam Ward at Miami this year, Dylan Gabriel at Oregon this year. This is the way things work now. I don't think it's what Ohio State's going to do long term. I don't think they're going to be in a portal quarterback universe all the time or even all that often. But for a one-year thing, I think it's worked out even better than either side would have anticipated, because it gives them a run threat. And he's been really accurate, you know, throwing the ball in intermediate and short throws and that kind of thing. So it's been really good.
Does Michigan's quarterback situation with transfer portals and whatnot, is that a cautionary tale for Ohio State at all? Or is it just like, nah, we can spend more money, we're better?
No, they're okay. I mean, like, what Michigan, like, you know, this is a terrible, weird blip for Michigan for quarterback play to be down and then to be able to spend the NIL money to get the number one recruit in the country for next year. Michigan and Ohio State and Oregon and teams like that are going to be able to compete in the NIL market. But, you know, I do think that, you know, Julian Sands in here for Ohio State next year. They have Tavian St. Clair in the next recruiting class, who's an Ohio kid who's been committed forever. He's a five-star recruit. So I think when it comes to quarterback recruiting, Ohio State's in pretty good shape.
Doug, did it surprise you to hear on the coach's show this week and really – all year, what Ryan Day has kind of been battling? Yeah, there are naysayers like me. I've been very critical of Ryan Day over the Michigan losses and allowing Michigan to win the national championship last year on his watch. But it seems like this week he really opened up, Doug, about not only what the stakes are for this game, but how it's been eating at him like crazy.
Yeah, no, I knew that. Yeah, that's, I mean, you could read it on him, like the fact that he's talking about it publicly. Listen, like, do you know one fact about this Ohio State-Michigan game for Ryan Day in his fifth go-around in the Ohio State-Michigan game? It's the first time he's not facing a top 10 Michigan team. So I think everybody can be, like, a little more honest and open when you're a three-touchdown favorite and when the Michigan team is not a national title contender, right? So that's the context of what Ryan Day, what Ohio State has faced in this world. Like, both teams have been excellent, and that hasn't always been the case in the whole history of the rivalry, that every year it's a top 10 matchup. So they've been aiming for this for 365 days, but I think, you know, there's a lot of stuff about vibes and feels and stuff this week. It's like Ohio State's good and Michigan's not that good, and that changes the context of everything. So, like, the ball is so different than it's been in especially the last 3 years, but in every year that Ryan Day's been the head coach of this game, it's just Ohio State just needs to go take care of business. But like the last 3 years, that wasn't enough because Michigan was awesome. So, yeah, like you can open up a little bit because you feel like you have more good players.
Doug LaMaurice joining us on the show. Well, is it enough for an Ohio State fan just to win the game? I mean, it's a 20-point spread right now. Or do you think that for an Ohio State fan, they got to boat race them to exercise these demons?
No, I think a win's enough. You know, we're talking to our audience about how much has the Michigan losses like ruined your life? How long do the losses stick with you? I did a survey of fans, like how long does a Michigan loss stick with you? And the number one answer was the whole year until the next game, right? So they this is not a thing that people get over in a week or a month or by Christmas or in the summer. Like this is part of their life. So I don't think it matters if it's 100-0 or 17-16. These Ohio State fans in this program just wants to feel good with a victory, however they have to get it.
Now, the fan heat on Ryan Day, say they win at 17-16, like you said, right? If they lose in the playoff, does a fan use that on call-in shows against them? Like, you only beat Michigan by a little bit, and then we just lost. Like, do you ever get off that heat until you win a national championship?
I don't know. They're number two in the country. They lost at number one by a point. Like, again, we're what-ifing worst-case scenarios. There's only two coaches right now who are active with national championships. Like, there's two paths anymore, right? I think it's almost – Woody and Bo was the same path. You have to beat each other to get to where you want to go, to get to the Rose Bowl to win the national championship. It's one path. It's a two-path world now. And I think the two paths are equally as important to Ohio State fans. We've all done stuff over the years. What's more important? Beat Michigan or win the national championship. Mm-hmm. Usually that stuff's about 50-50. So they're equally as important. So if you lose to Michigan, you still could win the national championship, but you're only 1-for-2 on those paths. If you beat Michigan and don't win the national championship, you're 1-for-2 on those paths. So 1-for-2 is better than 0-for-2, but 2-for-2 is the goal. But it's just like, I think it's interesting. I don't know that it's better or worse that they don't really have much to do with each other. But again, to live in a world where, well, if you don't win it all, like people think you should be fired, that's like a dangerous world to live in.
So obviously we have almost the full regular season of games so far. Ohio State has truly only been tested, to their credit, against Penn State and Happy Valley. And obviously the Oregon game, which could have gone either way. And I wasn't that hard on them for losing that game. I thought it was a fun game. And
yeah,
Oregon pulled out all the stops. I thought Dan Lanning got the best of them, but maybe in the Big Ten Championship it's different. What would you say confidently the identity of this Ohio State football team is?
Defense, especially since the Oregon game. I think they've really come a long way with balancing their aggression and their fundamentals. They've been much better on blitzes since the Oregon game. There's not a lot of wasted stuff anymore. They've been really targeted and precise. I think you can feel Jim Knowles, the defensive coordinator, kind of being locked in with his team. And I think you thought they were going to be a defense-first team, and I think since Oregon they have been a defense-first team. The run game offensively certainly is good, maybe not quite as dominant as some people thought. And, you know, Emeka Buka, Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate, as good as a receiving core as you have. But I do think it's a defensive team, right? And you saw like Indiana last week. I was like very impressed all year with Indiana's offense. Call them like a machine, right? They really do their job really well. And Ohio State just shut them down completely for 5 or 6 drives in the middle of that game. So it is a defensive team. It's not quite. They aren't quite as explosive offensively as they have been in some years past when you had, you know, Justin Fields chucking it deep to Chris Olave and that kind of thing. But I think the defense right now is playing certainly as well as they have since Jim Knowles got here, and maybe as well as they have in a long time.
Doug LaMaurice joining us here on the show. All right, college football playoff time. The way that you see that this playoff's shaking out, what were your major, you know, Indiana, were you surprised that Indiana was still in? And were you maybe, if you weren't, were you surprised by Warren Manuel's explanation of it? Because I think that everybody watching that game is like, all right, Ohio State's going to pull away with this thing, and they did. but it's what happened later in the day with the SEC teams. But Ward Manuel said it was a great showing by Indiana.
I thought Indiana competed for a half. I did. I thought like a goal line stand against Ohio State to come out and drive the ball down the field. You know, they had two, you drop a punt that leads to an Ohio State touchdown. I thought they competed for a half. And I thought that did matter. So, and the SEC is a bunch of frauds, three-loss frauds. Like, if we want to have a conversation about how they puff each other up and try to act like losing to Vanderbilt and Kentucky and Arkansas is no big deal, I mean, the top of the SEC is mid. And so, like, a conversation, every time you have a conversation about the SEC, they leave out the part about losing to Vanderbilt or Kentucky, or they act like Vanderbilt should be in the playoff, that Vanderbilt would boat race Indiana and Vanderbilt lost to Georgia State, right? So, like, it's the I think the top of the Big Ten has handled its business and the top of the SEC has not. So you can hear the whining from the South about this stuff, that they think they're the only conference that plays tough games, but it's not true, and they aren't as good this year. So I thought Indiana might be their 10th in the rankings. I thought they might be 9th, but I think they're in good enough shape, and I absolutely think they should be there because they've certainly played teams as good as Vanderbilt, Arkansas, and Kentucky, and they haven't lost to them.
I'm just curious, Doug, if you were a betting man and had to put money on it, I know it's
a real hypothetical-ing?
Yes,
hypothetical?
I love it.
That's
my
that's
favorite.
That's what SEC people fall back on
it's,
when they don't
well,
like
I think the committee,
on the ground.
You don't think the committee at times does that? They get into hypotheticals?
Hypothetical time.
I think that's
feelings
their life.
Are hurt. Let's do fake games.
So who do you think who would you really pick if your family was being held captive and you needed to pick the winner? Would you pick Indiana or would you pick Alabama?
I would pick Indiana
because
I would think that the Alabama team that got absolutely embarrassingly boat raced by Oklahoma would show up and Kurt Cignetti would pile drive Kalen DeBoer in that game.
You sure about
this
that?
Is what,
you sure about
am
that?
I sure? Why would I not be sure about it when Alabama has played like five clunkers this year? This is what people do.
Doug, your family's lives are on the line.
I would
they
do it
just
for my
released
kids.
A hostage video.
I would
it's
do it
not
for my
pretty.
Kids.
This is what people do. This is the same kind of conversation. It's like you could line up the Steelers' talent and the Jets' talent and say it's for your family's life. Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers versus the Steelers. But then, like, so we throw out the records, so winning games doesn't matter. Like, we don't do it in any other sport. Family hostage videos is the way of people who don't like facts. In college football.
Oh, I love it.
Well, I'm always more impressed. I'll be honest. I think college football, especially now, and even we saw when Urban Meyer was the coach, and even some Jim Tressel years, teams can lose all the time to teams, especially now with the lack of depth. I'm always more impressed with the wins. I'm always impressed with who did you beat when you go up against really talented teams. And I just think if Indiana was in the SEC this year, I think they'd have five losses. But it's impossible to know.
I don't know if they'd have five losses.
I do. I think there's no shot they would beat Georgia.
Hem and haw. I don't know.
I think that's incredibly not true. Georgia is the only team down there that's played a consistently tough schedule. And we're now at a spot where Georgia has lost to three. Georgia has lost to two three-loss teams because Bama and Ole Miss have three losses now. Like, I think Tennessee is going to lose to Vanderbilt this week, not because Vanderbilt's awesome, because Tennessee is mid. It's not recruiting stars anymore, and that's it. There is so much in the transfer portal where you can get winning players. Development matters more. Like, the look at the recruiting rankings argument is the way of the dinosaur, man. And so, like, I just don't even think these conversations are interesting because you're just making stuff up because you don't like the facts.
So
the idea that you ignore bad luck.
Well, I'm not ignoring anything, Doug.
I just
don't think the 13 FCS players that worked their way up in the one MAC quarterback have a shot to go beat Georgia. I just don't think it's happening. I think we have enough evidence over the history of college football to know that's a mismatch.
You don't think they can beat Tennessee? Take Georgia out, because we're not arguing about Ohio State and Oregon.
Doug, they could.
You don't think they could beat Tennessee? You don't think they could beat Ole Miss?
I think a lot.
Think they beat Texas A&M?
I think on any given day, yes, anybody could beat anybody. But I think if you said 10 times, no. I think Indiana might be lucky to win one. But that's just me. All right, we'll disagree there. I tweeted this out moments ago. Yep. What is the point of having this fun, expanded tournament, 12 teams, unprecedented. We're finally going to get to see some cool matchups and campus hosting games and cross conference matchups that we might not normally see. And they want to go Indiana and Penn State in the first round. Like, who's clamoring for that?
That's just the rankings right now. So I'll be very curious. I mean, like, people are bracketing off the rankings. So when it gets down to brass tacks at the end, and you have an opportunity to make either Tennessee versus Georgia and Penn State versus Indiana, or you can flip it a little bit, flip two teams and make those cross games, I think they might do it. Right? So, like, I agree with that. I want all north-south campus games, right? Because I think it'd be three games in the north and one in the south. And, like, that's, I was at a Notre Dame game, and they won an SEC team in Notre Dame Stadium. They don't want Indiana in Notre Dame Stadium. That's not as fun. So I'll be very, I hope they do it, right? It's like, you're in the room. Nobody knows. It's like, okay, we actually thought this team was 9 and this team was 10, but let's flip it to make a cooler matchup. I hope they do that, because I agree with you there.
Doug Lamarese joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Doug, has it made in-game coaching more important, the NIL, the lack of depth that some of these teams have, and do you think that that's affected the SEC a little bit?
I mean, you look, for instance, like Ole Miss, when you look at the efficiency metrics, like offensively and defensively and stuff like that, they are like up there with Ohio State among the best in the country. And they have three losses. So that's part of this conversation, too. It's like, when you are so good on both sides of the ball and play to play and drive to drive, your stats are excellent, but you lose three times, what is that? And you might be coaching, right? Like, he found ways to lose those three games. Come on, Lane. So, like, that I think absolutely matters, because you can look at some of that stuff and be like, wow, look at how good this three-loss team is. Or you can look at it and say, oh, my God, this team is so good. How did they fumble away these three losses? Yeah. They don't know how to make winning plays. They make stupid mistakes in crucial moments. And so I do think that coaching really does matter. And then that's now where you get to a conversation about Kurt Cignetti and Dan Lanning and Ryan Day versus Josh Heupel and Lane Kiffin and guys like that. And it's like, okay, who is Kalen DeBoer, who I think is a bad fit at Alabama? Like, who would you rather have in those situations? So I think the coaching really does matter.
How early is too early to text you?
Which day?
Weekdays.
Ooh, good question.
Today, this morning.
For you guys, I sleep till noon every day. But for you guys, I would wake up in the middle of the night.
Well, because I texted you at 5 a.m. and Lyman's like, you texted him at 5 a.m.? And I was like, well, I didn't want him to forget, or I didn't want to forget when I texted you. So I texted you at 5 a.m. and Lyman's like, that's a little bit early. And I was throwing it out to people earlier this morning at 7:45, and they're like, yeah, that's a bit too early, Kenny. You shouldn't be texting people.
For everybody else in the world, yes. My wife and you guys are the only people who can text me that early.
Doug, you're the
best. I'm always here for you guys.
Damn it, you're the best. All right, watch his podcast, Kings of the North on YouTube. Doug Lamarese. Doug, we thank you for the time. All the best.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Doug Lamarese on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I could see it in your eyes. You want to talk about that playoff there.
Well,
you are hot and bothered.
He said, I'm fascinated by this. He said he didn't find that to be an interesting conversation. I think it is so interesting.
Which one? The one about families being held hostage?
Oh, that's the most important thing we do on this radio show.